Shavua Tov and the Gutavach Mishnah Yomi continues with the 10th and final Mishnah in Chapter 4 of Sukkah. Now remember, yesterday we mentioned the famous Nisuch Hamayim, the water libations that were carried out during the festival of Sukkot and even on Shmini Atzeret. And normally throughout the year, there were wine libations on top of the altar in the Holy Temple. And on Sukkot, there are also an additional water libation. So Mishnah Yud, Kimasehu b'chol, kach masehu b'shabbat. As they did the activities for the water libation on a weekday, so too they did it on Shabbat. Ela, but shahaya memole me'erev Shabbat. But they would fill up the water erev Shabbat, on Friday, not on Saturday, Chavit shel zahav, into a barrel of gold, she'eno mekudeshet, that was not a holy kli, not a mekudash kli, not a sanctified vessel, min shiluach. They'd fill it up from the shiluach spring that we mentioned yesterday, but they wouldn't put it into a sanctified vessel. Now, the reason for this is, once you put any item into a kli kodesh, a kli sharet, a official kodesh utensil of the temple, then it becomes itself sanctified, whatever you put into that kli. And then if it's left overnight, there's something called a psul lina. It's pusul, it's not usable anymore for the mitzvah because it was left sitting overnight. So here they would fill up the water, erev Shabbat, into a non-sanctified golden barrel, umenicho belishka, and they would leave it in the lishka, leave it in a chamber, in an office of the temple overnight. Now the Mishnah gives a worst-case scenario, nishbucha, what if that was spilled out, someone bumped into the barrel, don't do that, o nitgolta, or it was uncovered, like the lid was off the barrel, and off the barrel long enough for a snake or a creepy crawly creature to go in and take a drink out of it, which might inject venom into this. So what would they do in that case? Hayim amoli min akior. So if it was spilled or revealed, uncovered, they would go fill up from the kior. Now recall, the kior is the big container of water that the Kohanim would use to wash their hands and feet before doing the Avoda, which we mentioned in detail during Yuma, when we're talking about Yom Kippur. Now the Mishnah explains why uncovered water doesn't work. Shehayayin, because wine, v'hamayim, and water also, hamegulin, that are left uncovered, psulin legabe mizbeach, they are pusul to use on the mizbeach. Now it's an interesting fact that the Gemara also says that a human being should not drink wine that was left out, and even water that was left out, because of the concern I mentioned that a poisonous creature, particularly a snake, might drink from it and leave some poison in the water. So it's a tzad sakona, it's dangerous to one's health. So it's actually quite interesting that the Mishnah says, oh yeah, that's pusul for the mizbeach. Well, it should be pusul for everybody, not just for the mizbeach. But there's an interesting detail here, is that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't cite Mayim Megulim as Halacha L'maisa. And some of the later sources explain this could be because, you know, there weren't so many poisonous snakes around even 500 years ago, even the time of the Mechaber Shulchan Aruch. And certainly today, it's not common that poisonous snakes and creatures have access to our kitchens and our water sources. So really, the reason for it is not applicable right now. Famously, the Gra was very machmir never to drink or use Mayim Megulim. He could even had, they say he had the sensitivity to be able to tell when it was Mayim Megulim versus covered up water. Okay, Mazel Tov, let's go on to chapter 5, Hecholil, the flute. Now we're going to see it wasn't just the flute. There were a lot of musical instruments used, but the flute was sort of the loudest and, star of the show here. So they mentioned the flute, Chamisha Vashisha. It could be 5 days or 6 days. Zeu Echolil, and this is the flute, shall Beit HaShoeva, of the literally the house of drawing, and this is the famous Simchas Beit HaShoeva, the party, the joy of the house of drawing, the celebration that commemorates the Nisuch HaMayim, the drying of water and the libation of water on the altar. So the flute and other musical instruments and singing and vast celebration was used to commemorate this drawing of water. But the Mishnah says, She'eno doche lo Shabbat v'lo Yom Tov. It does not push aside Shabbat or Yom Tov. And therefore, as the Mishnah started, it's 5 or 6 days. Because if you have 1 day of Yom Tov, say the Yom Tov is on a Friday and then Shabbat's on a Saturday, so you're not going to use the flute and the other musical instruments. You're not going to have a Simchat Beit Shoeva on those 2 days. But if Shabbat and Yom Tov are on the same day, and then the rest of the week is Chol HaMoed, and it's not Shabbat, then you'd have it for 6 days. Now, it's interesting that playing a flute or a musical instrument is not Usur Deraisa. It's not biblically prohibited on Shabbat and Yom Tov. It's a rabbinical decree because it's not uncommon that a string breaks or something goes out of tune, and they would be, you know, a musician who's playing his guitar or his flute or whatever it is, and something breaks, they'd be very tempted to just go ahead without thinking and go ahead and fix it. And that could be tikkun mana, it could be the melacha of fixing something, making a kli usable on Shabbat. So the interesting detail here is, even though frequently we do allow rabbinically restricted activities in the temple on Shabbat, we say ein shvut b'mikdash, shvut being these rabbinical prohibitions to distance us from biblical melachot, biblical activities on Shabbat and Yom Tov, here we don't say it's dohe. We don't say that this celebration pushes aside Yom Tov and Shabbat, even in the temple, where we're going to see in this chapter that's where this celebration took place. Amru, and they said, the sages of early generation said, kol mi shalo ra simchat beit ha-shoeva, anyone who did not see the joy of the house of drawing water, lo ra simcha b'yamav, he never saw a real simcha. Now, of course, this isn't literal. You know, we've been to parties, we've been to weddings, we've been to a bris milah, we've been to bar mitzvah, we've seen simcha, and we've seen how other people celebrate smachot, we've seen how people who aren't so religious celebrate. You know, it's lo karav zeh al zeh, it's not even similar. But even the simcha of a mitzvah is not even as great and grand without the pomp of the simchat beit shoeva. We're going to describe that coming up in the rest of this chapter. Shavua tov and zay gezunt.